Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Our text this morning will be verses 7 through 18. But before we get there, I want to ask us a question. I often have done that. It's a means of kind of opening us up. And to help visually, I got a visual aid for us. And I decided to put some coffee in there so that you can see. If I put water, some of you in the back may not even tell that there was water in it. But since there's a dark and a light, question for us. Is the glass half full or half empty? Don't say what your thoughts are, but we view it one way or the other, do we not? So ask us that question. How do we view the glass, half full or half empty? It has a bearing, I believe, as we answer that, not just on this glass, but oftentimes in our own lives spiritually, what's going on? And I think you'll come to understand that as we work our way through the message this morning, because it, I think, bears out as we look at this passage to find out our personal perspective, if you will, concerning our lives as believers. And all would also hold true for anybody that is lost as well. But I want us to look at this because Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, to the believers that are there in Corinth. And he notes this because it is how we view our lives and how we answer these questions tells us much about ourselves. And so as we look at our text this morning, may we have the same vision about our life as Paul had concerning his. And Paul had an answer to that question as well. And we'll look at that as we go forward with this passage. So let's read verses 7 through 18. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Let's pray. Father, we come to Thee this morning. I pray that our hearts are here with much anticipation to hear what You have for us from Your Word. That we are indeed earthen vessels ready to receive that which You have for us this morning. May our hearts and minds be yielded to the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts with Your Word. That we who are believers here are going to be changed by that working, molded and shaped into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You that You reside and You are seeking to bring about that change. It started with the new birth, and it continues until that day when we are given a new body and we are glorified. Father, we thank You for that process that continues, that sanctifying work that You are doing to empty us of self and to fill us with You, to draw us closer to Christ's likeness day by day. At times it can be troublesome. At times it can be wearisome. But as Paul notes here, it's you. And we're not forsaken. We're not cast down, ultimately. You are there beside us, guiding and directing and strengthening. And so, Father, I pray that we would take heart as you do work, realizing that it is for our good and for your glory. I pray for that soul that may be here lost. Draw them unto thee this morning. May they see their need of Christ and seek thy cleansing and forgiveness. May they wondrously be born again this morning. May they take time to have one of us show them out of the Scriptures how they can have that assurance in knowing that their sins have been forgiven in Christ and that you have cleansed them from that sin through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on the cross of Calvary on their behalf. We thank you for that work, and we thank you, Father, for that continuing work in our lives. May we truly go forth saying it's been blessed to be in thy house this morning to have heard thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at our passage this morning, Paul, as he is writing to the Corinthian church, he's just told them about some other things, about the gospel primarily, in verses 1 through 6, and noting that blessed good news that Jesus Christ died in our place for our sins. That is the question that the world must answer. What do you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you accept the truth that He is who He says He is? That He's the Son of God who came to bear your sins in His own body on the tree, dying in your place as your substitute? Or are you remaining blinded, as Paul gives that image? Because the God of this world hath blinded your eyes, and you've not allowed and let the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine in, because the light is there. We have this book before us. We have church buildings. We have us as believers who conduct our lives in the midst of the dark, lost world that's out there. And as Jim mentioned this morning in our adult Sunday school class, in noting in the Beatitudes, ye are the light of the world. We reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. How brightly are we reflecting that light for all to see? And so now he changes the picture, if you will, and notes that, but we have this treasure, this blessed good news, this gospel. We possess it. We possess Christ in an earthen vessel. Now, I didn't bring some other objects, if you will. I was thinking about it, but I didn't get around to grabbing a clay pot. That's what he's describing. We are a clay pot, a plain old, nondescript, ordinary clay pot. We're not a vase, you know, from the Ming Dynasty of China that's nicely shaped and symmetrical and beautifully painted and enameled over. He doesn't say we have the gospel in something like that. We have it in a clay pot. A nondescript, not something that you would put out on your dining room table or on your coffee table or on some table for all to see and say, look at this vase that I have. No, we're just a clay pot. Why? Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The gospel is not about us, the ones who get to proclaim the message. It's about who we're proclaiming, who we possess. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is, to be quite honest, a joy to be just a plain, ordinary clay pot. Nothing fancy. Nothing to look at and say, well, surely that's why you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. Look at that life that you have. It's not our life. We're just a clay pot. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Christ in a nondescript vessel. Christ is the treasure. He resides in us as believers. He is what makes this life so amazing, so wondrous, so joyful, because He is the one that changed us from the inside out. Notice what Paul said in verses 5 and 6 here. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He reminds us of this. We preach Christ, not ourselves. You know, the world may look at us, our friends may look at us who are lost and wonder, man, you've got it all together. That's why God is so good to you, because you have it all together. Look at your life, look at what's happened. It's not us. It's about our God. They're seeing the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and point them back to Him. May we not take in those thoughts, yep, I got it good. Thank you for noticing. We have it good because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, we're back to being that nondescript clay pot. But with Him, we have everything. And it is that message that we can give and show forth to those around us. That's what they see reflected. They don't see necessarily at times that clay pot. They see the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Because the life that we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And so we can remind them of this. Yes, I do have a blessed life, and here's why. It's not the pot. It's what's in the pot. I have the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me. He gave me a new life in Him. And that's what you see. Won't you come to Him? He will give you that same kind of life. He goes on and notes as he speaks of having Christ, we have Christ in trials. We have troubles. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're cast down. But in all of these, note what he says. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Notice Paul's rebuttals to everything that he's going through, that he's facing, that believers face. Have we been troubled on every side? To some extent, maybe not to the same extent as Paul. We're not a missionary out there going and traveling about and seeking to see churches established, but we are believers living in this world. We have troubles. But are we looking at the troubles or are we looking at who we possess? To come back to our image, are we looking at the troubles, that which we have no control over? the empty half of the glass. We're perplexed. The empty half. But we're not in despair. Why? Because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the other half of the jar, the part that has something. We who possess the Lord Jesus Christ have something. But too oftentimes we do look at the things that we don't have control over. The persecuted but not forsaken, the cast down. We look at those things that are out of our control, something that we cannot alter, change, and our mind, our focus stays there on that which we have nothing to do with. That we cannot change, we cannot alter, and we get downcast. And we get troubled. Because our eyes are focused on that which we have no control over and say, oh dear, woe is me. Instead of realizing what we do possess, we have Christ. And when we have Christ, we have everything. He's with us. The world, the flesh, and the devil may treat us badly, but God does not leave us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. But let your conversation be without covetousness, your manner of living, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's with us. He's here. It's not an earthen vessel, it's a glass. But Christ is with us. He's in the part that we do have something. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, and with him we have everything. He's not leaving us nor forsaking us. He's with us through the troubles. He's with us through being distressed. He's with us through the despairs, the persecutions. He's there with us. He has a purpose and plan for those to unfold, really and ultimately to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one bringing us through these things. He's the one that watches over us. Because as we see in verses 11 through 14, we have Christ who is our life. It says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, on the surface, does that sound really pleasant? For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. We're looking at dying. Not always a pleasant thought, but for the believer, is it a pleasant thought? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Last I knew, going to heaven is not a bad thought. Regardless of our age, regardless of what our thoughts may be. Does that mean that I want to go this afternoon? I mean, I still want to live in this life. I don't think my life is over with yet. I trust the Lord has more things for me to do, but I don't begrudge the thought that I may be going home this afternoon. I'll miss folks, yes, but it's just a so long. We'll be reunited one day. But he notes this as he says, we which were delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Yes, we have these things going on in our life that seemingly is drawing us to death. But it's so that the life of Jesus Christ may be seen. to those around me. And so Paul takes heart in that. He takes courage, if you will, realizing that, yes, these things are bombarding me, but it is through those bombardments that Jesus Christ is being demonstrated. His life is being shown to a world in desperate need of the Savior. So then death worketh in us, but life in you, as he continues. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Again, we quoted a piece of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm dead, but I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, in a nutshell, right there in verse 20, just has encapsulated what he's been telling the Corinthians here in this chapter. He's kind of unpackaged it, if you will. And noting to them, Christ is our life. We're dead. We died in the Lord Jesus Christ. But because he lives, we live also. Christ was resurrected from the dead. We too have a glorious resurrection coming, unless we're raptured out. But because he lives, we live. And the life that we live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. It's a life of faith. Our faith in the Scriptures, our faith in our God who saved us. Because it's his life. And it's being lived out in us. It is Christ who is our life. It is a life, yes, as we consider these things, of self-denial, because Christ is the one that ultimately gives us this life. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27 notes, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Good questions that Christ presents to us. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Almost a paradox. What do you mean? How can I keep my life but end up losing it? You never come to Christ. What is your end result? The people in this world who think this is all there is. I've got to gather all my toys, all my things, and live life to the fullest. Hedonism. Satisfying myself, because what is there after this life? There is the afterlife. There's a heaven or there's a hell. One of great pleasantness, one of great torment. This life is not all that is there. And we make the decision for what happens later with what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. If we neglect the message, if we reject it and think this is all, I'm doing whatever I can, then we're going to spend an eternity in hell in torments. But if we allow the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine in and see that, yes, I need him. He's the one who died in my place for my sins. And we trust him. We may not have the world's goods in this life, but we'll have the riches of heaven for all eternity. Things that last forever. Those toys we gather in this life, we don't take with us. I've never seen a coffin that was the size of a house where the person was taking all their belongings. You know, it doesn't go. And all we see in China and other places, the pyramids, where they have put things in those coffins, in those caskets, in those places where they were burying their pharaohs. And guess what? Those items were still in there. Unless, of course, there were grave robbers, pyramid robbers. They put all that wealth and all those things in there, and 2,000 years, 3,000 years, 4,000 years later, they're still there. Those men don't have them. They don't possess them. But the things that God has waiting for us are beyond our comprehension. And what a joy to consider that. Because he is our life. And because he lives, we live also. In this life, and yes, the life to come. And as Paul ended this section, this chapter, we have Christ who keeps our perspective. He helps us to understand this life and the one that's to come. It says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What a contrast and play on words. The troubles that we're facing, the perplexities, all these things that he's already noted, says that's a light affliction. Now we might think otherwise, but notice Paul's perspective. It's not on the empty, it's on the full. That light affliction is compared to eternity. And those eternal weights of glory. The light affliction is but for a moment. That eternal weight of glory is just that, eternal. Forever. What we're facing in this life is temporal. It's short-lived. Regardless of how long that life is lived. Now, we had someone just celebrate a birthday. They're 85 years old. Some of us say, "Well, that's still pretty young, aren't you?" Others saying, "That's pretty old." Just depends on where we are in that spot. You could say, you know, age is relative. Yes, it is. Depends on whose perspective we're looking at this. We may think that's a long time, usually when we're much younger. I can remember thinking along those lines back in various stages in my life of, you know, when does high school graduation take place? Oh my word, that's a long way off. You know, 1979. How old will I be when the year 2000 comes along? Oh wow, I'll be 39. Ooh, that's old. I look back at those things that, no, man, that's Look at how much time has gone by since 2000. Those aren't old anymore. Now, that's pretty young. Well, those things are perspectives, if you will, but he reminds us that this life is really just a moment. Whether we reach 85 or 95 or 105, I saw a headline, I think the oldest lady is 115. And we think, well, that's a long time. I mean, that's still quite a bit more time for those that are 85, you know. That's another, what, 30 years? Think, boy, 30 years, that's a long time, yeah. But these things are just a moment. Eternity's coming. And this life that we live now in comparison to eternity is just a little speck. If somehow we could put eternity on a timeline and put out forever, 90 years, 100 years, 200 years just becomes a little tiny dot, an insignificant part. He continues, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We don't see what God has waiting for us. We see this life. But may we have our views, as Paul told the Colossians. Our verse that we had to memorize from Colossians 3:1, to set our things on above. Look to those things. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the outward man that matters. When viewed from God, our trials are insignificant, because they shall come to pass. And one day we'll be in His presence. And all the things that we have gone through, all the seeming heartaches, hardships, trials, will just fade away. They will be of no consequence apart from, did they draw us closer to our God? Did they bring us to that understanding of what we have? So to answer our question back at the beginning, I trust that we said, it's half full. We're looking at what we possess, not that which is missing. Because ultimately, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, are we missing anything? No. Because when we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we can partake of Him. I can't do anything with that half that's empty. It's kind of lukewarm now, so I'm not going to drink it. But I can do something with the part that's there, can I not? I can enjoy it. I can't with that which is missing. There's nothing there. May our view be on what we possess, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all that we need. He will bring us through the things that He has already mentioned as Paul lays them out. Because He's with us. And so we can go through those things knowing that He is with us. He gives us His grace, His strength, His mercy. He gives us everything we need to bring us through. Because we have this treasure in our earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power may rest on Him and not on us. Because He is our everything. He's our only thing. Because without Him, we're nothing. But with Him, we have everything. So I trust that as we consider these things, if we were one that said, yeah, it's half empty, let's not look at what we don't have. Let our focus be on what we do have. For when we focus on what we have everything. But if our mind is on what we don't have, what's missing supposedly, then we miss out on what we have. And we miss the blessings that God has waiting for us. We look at those circumstances and we do become distressed. We do come perplexed. We do come in despair. We are persecuted and we think we're forsaken. We've missed out. God's there with us. He has a purpose and plan that's unfolding. May we look at what we have. Because in Christ we have everything. May we follow, again, going back to Colossians chapter 3. May we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We memorize verse 1. But we'll continue. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, and that statement is an understanding that it is true. So sometimes we will translate if as since you have been risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What a thought. Our life is hid with Christ in God. We are eternally secure and safe, regardless of what happens, because we're hid with Christ in God. Comforting words in the midst of hardships. Paul in 2 Corinthians will go on and talk about those light afflictions, chapter 11. I don't think any of us have seen any of that in our lives. And that's what he called light affliction. I think ours are even lighter. But we have an eternal weight of glory. May God be our focus. May the understanding of who we are in Christ and what He has done for us be ever mindful in our lives, so that Christ may be seen through us by those about us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Thy Word. We thank You for the truths that are here, the instruction, the teaching, the preaching, the exhortation that You give to us through it. Father, You remind us of these things over and over again. And we are thankful for it. May we not grow weary of it, but they're there multiple times to help us understand, because we do seemingly, as we've said before, ebb and flow in our Christian life. At times we focus on You, and at times we turn away and we start to focus on, yes, the things that we seemingly don't have. Or we focus on the things about us of which we have no control over. We get discouraged. We get disheartened. And Satan has a field day. For he knows our eyes, our hearts, our minds are off of our Savior. They're off our God. And we can become discouraged. And the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, while it never goes out in us, becomes dim. Father, forgive us if we have gone down that path. And we have allowed the cares of this world, the cares of our life, to leave what we have, who we are in Christ. So, Father, I pray that you would have our attention this morning. And if we have gone down that path of looking away from you, of not realizing that you are here with us, that you have a purpose and plan that is unfolding in the midst of these trials, these hardships, these distresses, and all that is talked about, may we seek your forgiveness. And truly, yes, set our eyes back on you, understanding that, yes, we are crucified with Christ, but we live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And we live this life by faith in him who saved us. And truly, Father, what a glorious life that is. May we not lose sight of that. May we realize that we have this treasure, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may he shine brightly through us. Father, I do pray that you would work in our hearts. We know that you are. Your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you please. So, Father, I pray for those here that you are getting their attention. They have seen the glass half full. They've lost sight of what they have. As they work to restore remembering and seeing what they have, may they draw from thy strength. May they be blessed and encouraged as they seek your forgiveness, your cleansing. May we who have our sight, Father, truly remember that we are but an earthen vessel. What we have is Christ. What we boast in is Christ. Not the life he's given us, but in Christ. Because he's our everything. He's our all in all. Truly, he is our only thing. So truly, may we make much of him, because without him, we have nothing. May we walk humbly in thy presence. Father, we pray that as we go forth, we would be that earthen vessel that you've called us to be, to show forth the excellency of Christ to a world in great need, to our fellow believers who may find themselves in need. It is Christ and Christ alone. He is the answer. May we go forth in thy strength and not ours. Dismiss us in thy care, send us forth in thy grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.